You're tuned in to the Kojo Nnamdi Show on WAMU 88.5. Welcome. Montgomery County School Board announced its calendar for next academic year, and many parents, students, and teachers are not happy about it. The new schedule features a spring break shortened by 2 days in accordance with Governor Larry Hogan's executive order mandating that schools start after Labor Day and end by June 15th. Today, we're getting a sense for what that challenge is like in Montgomery County and beyond. Joining me in studio is Bethany Rogers. She is a reporter for Bethesda Beat, where she covers Montgomery County schools. Bethany Rogers, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Also in studio with us is Patricia O'Neill. She's a member of the Montgomery County Board of Education, the longest serving member, I think. Is that correct?
The current crop, second longest in history.
Thank you very much for joining us. Bethany, why are school boards throughout Maryland challenged by this executive order from the governor? Remind us of what exactly he's mandated.
The executive order mandates that schools must begin after Labor Day and wrap up by June 15th. And so within that framework, it leaves schools with limited flexibility as far as how many days that they can schedule off, how many professional days they can schedule for teachers, and how they can schedule their spring break.
I was about to ask you a similar question, Patricia, and that is how much leeway does the school board have in determining the academic calendar?
Well, the year of 2018-19 calendar is particularly challenging, just the way the calendar falls. Both Jewish holidays fall on school days. June 15th happens to be a Saturday, so that means we must wrap up by June 14th, and there's an election day in there. So all of those days ticked off and left us with 6 days to distribute.
Bethany, how are other counties dealing with the constraints to their schedules?
It depends. Some school districts have decided to close on one of the Jewish holidays, one of the days that the Frederick County School Board has decided to look at leaving schools open is on the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur, which is the day that they have historically closed schools. In other counties, they've explored shortening spring break. Baltimore County voted to shorten its spring break, just like Montgomery County did. So it does look different in different areas. Many places have also decided to eliminate professional development days for teachers. And one of those counties would be Anne Arundel County. They decided to eliminate a couple of those.
Patricia O'Neill, how does the school board determine how to make changes to the academic calendar? What's that process like?
Well, starting in July, we began outreach to the community through small focus groups and an online survey to, one, explain to the community members to help educate them at the constraints within our calendar and to get feedback. And we had over 2,000 online responses. Our staff did about 30 focus groups. We got a lot of input. People, while they wanted to maintain the spring break, they really recognized the constraints that we only had 6 days to play with. I want to note that in this school year that we're currently in, we're one of only 5 districts that has a full spring break. The change will affect next school year.
Bethany, you attended some of the meetings that featured public comment about these changes when they were still in their proposal form. What kind of feedback were you hearing from the public?
Most of the feedback I found was submitted to the board through its website. There were very many parents who showed up during the actual board meetings to talk about this. One community that did appear consistently was the Muslim community, who really wanted recognition within the school year for the Muslim holiday of Eid al-Fitr. And the board's adopted calendar does end up aligning a professional day with that holiday.
What have you heard? What kind of feedback have you heard from teachers about these changes?
The teachers really are unhappy with the amount of planning and grading time that the current calendar gives them. The calendar at this point only allows them 2 days to do some planning ahead and to catch up. And the teachers' union has said that that really is not enough time to be able to properly prepare for their lessons for the year and to keep track of student performance as the year goes on. At the same time, they have said that they understand the constraints that the school board was under because of the governor's mandate. So their message showed that they are sympathetic to the board for the challenges that the board is facing.
As Bethany mentioned, the school board opened this decision to comment online, Patricia O'Neill, and over 2,000 people commented. In your opinion, what were the general trend of the opinions that people had about the changes to the schedule?
Well, certainly 50% indicated that they wanted to maintain a full spring break. We also had comments relating to Eid. We had comments relating to Diwali, to maintaining the full both Jewish holidays. You know, there were a smattering of comments that we should close on Veterans Day. We intend to do a survey of community members on a go-forward basis of what days they would like to see and need in the calendar to be able to observe their religious holidays, their professional experiences. We heard from a lot of teachers, you know, many teachers who also wanted a full spring break.
Did you hear from anybody like Dana S., who tweeted us to say, the school executive order must be rescinded. Calendar development is the job of school districts. Do you feel in some measure that your job has been taken away from you because of the executive order?
Well, certainly. We've always believed that local control over the calendar is very important. Every community needs to recognize what is necessary to operate their school system. The executive order also, you know, exempted sports. So thousands of Maryland high school athletes came back August 9th, even though school started after Labor Day, because the sports programs, the playoff games, dictated that. We believe that it should be a local control issue, and I know my colleagues in the Maryland Association of Board of Education strongly believe that it should be up to local jurisdictions to establish the start and end dates for school systems.
In case you're just joining us, we're talking with Patricia O'Neill. She is a member of the Montgomery County Board of Education, and Bethany Rogers, who's a reporter for Bethesda Beat. She covers Montgomery County schools. We're taking your calls at 800-433-8850. Bethany Rogers, what reason did Governor Hogan give for changing the calendar?
There were several reasons that he gave when he announced this executive order. One of them was that it was a decision that he said was supported by a majority of Marylanders. He pointed to a Goucher poll that was conducted, I believe, in 2015 that showed more than 70% of people surveyed supported that change. So he viewed it as being a popular move. He also said it would be good for the economy. He made the announcement in Ocean City and sort of viewed this as a way to boost tourism, you know, because it would extend the amount of time that families could spend taking vacation.
Patricia O'Neill, what do you make of the governor's reasoning behind these calendar changes?
Well, I certainly am appreciative of his concerns about the economy in Maryland in general, and specifically as this executive order was intended to boost resources and revenues from Ocean City. My job as a school board member is to focus on the needs of our children, and I think it was a little blind eye and tone deaf to the changing world of education. Some people have said, you know, back in the old days, we started after Labor Day, but many states are beginning in August. I want to point out that the advanced placement examinations, which are given in May, are set by the College Board. The international baccalaureate exams are set by the IB Association. And children in Maryland starting later have less numbers of weeks of instruction prior to those nationally dated tests.
The school board chose to keep Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as holidays that schools close for. Why did the board feel it was important to close on those days?
Well, we can't honor or celebrate a particular religion, but we can close for operational purposes. And back in the 70s, student absenteeism on those days were very high. Also, staff absences were high, and there is a financial cost when you're when teachers take personal days, and then we pay for substitute teachers. So dating back to the 70s, so for more than 40 years, we've been closed on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur because of operational needs. There are also eight schools, predominantly high schools, that are leased to Jewish synagogues for observances of the high holidays.
Bethany, how does the school board determine which religious holidays to take off? You mentioned earlier that there were some Muslims who felt that Eid was one of the days that should be taken off.
Well, the decision to close on the two Jewish holidays, which was made back in the 70s, was based on data collected at that time and a review that took place at that time. The closure that was aligned with Eid this year, or for the coming calendar, was based on feedback, I think, from advocates. And it also is around test time, and there was some comment during board discussion that this would give students an opportunity to study.
Here now on the phone is Keith in Crossdon, Maryland. Keith, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hello. Thank you, and thanks for coming on the show. My question is this. What is the minimum number of days that we have to go to school? My old data was the federal government used to be 140, but the state is 180. Is that still true?
Yes. Under the Code of Maryland Education Regulations, we must have 180 days of instruction, and is an important word, 1,080 hours of instruction.
Keith?
To just reduce that number so that you gain less time to go to school in general.
Well, to reduce that number would be counter to what we believe is in the best interest of students. There are countries in the world, Japan, with 190 days of instruction. 180 is a bare minimum, and 1,080 hours is really a bare minimum.
Well, I agree. So how many days is the school schedule?
Well, we have 180 school days. There are 15 mandated days for closure, holidays. December 24th through January 1st, Good Friday through Easter Monday, President's Day, Memorial Day, Thanksgiving and the day after. All of those days can count up to those 15 days mandated by state law that were closed.
Thank you very much for your call. We got an email from Amy in Silver Spring who says, as a Montgomery County Public Schools parent, school breaks and summer are always a challenge. As a working parent, I have limited paid leave from my job. The delayed start to the school year means paying for more summer camps and child care. On top of the financial expense, it's very difficult to find camps that run during the last 2 weeks of August in the D.C. area. It's a real challenge. We are certainly not out supporting Maryland tourism, as Governor Hogan would pretend. Spring break is no loss to us for the same reasons of needing to cover the child care gap. I'd rather teachers have the opportunity for professional development, which does raise the question, exactly what is professional development, and what do teachers do during professional development days?
Well, prior to the start of school, we had eight pre-service days where teachers met, received training, worked with their principals on goal setting, etc., and also preparing their rooms for their students. We have some early release days for teachers to prepare interim grading. You can't do report cards. You can't do interim reports, nor can you schedule parent-teacher conferences prior to the start of school until you actually have your students in hand. We have one professional day this year, one full professional day in January, in between the first and second semester for teachers to do report cards. And in high school, each semester is self-contained, so they must prepare for their next crop of students.
On now to Dana in Severna Park, Maryland. Dana, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi there. I just wanted to voice my strong support for the rescission or the relaxation of the terms of the school executive order, specifically with regard to the mandated end date. When you have that coupled with a start date of after Labor Day, it puts schools in a box so tight they can barely function for all the reasons that the ladies have mentioned. And also, we should pay close attention to the low-income and food-insecure children of our state. These students have to go a very long time over the summer where they're not even sure where their meals are coming from. Some of them depend on school breakfast and lunch programs as part of their daily adequate nutrition. You remove that, and I'm not sure where that leaves them. It doesn't leave them in any place that's good. It's just a very long time to go in the summer when you don't know where your next meal is coming from. And I spoke at the Anne Arundel County School Board on October 18th and November 1st, pleading with them initially to have Rosh Hashanah stay non-instructional. But then through a poll I put out to about 10,000 Marylanders via Facebook and also a petition, I realized that it's not about me and my and the cultural religious minorities, although that's a part of it. But really, it's these children who are hungry over the summer. 12 weeks is a very long time to go, and I definitely think we need to get the power back to the school districts so that they can develop school calendars that meet their own needs and priorities and take care of their students.
Dana, thank you very much for your call. Another consideration in a tweet we got from Robin, who said, shortened spring break will mean fewer college visits for my high schooler. For many older students, spring break is a time to check out colleges. How concerned are parents about this new schedule's impact on that tradition? Have you been hearing anything about that, Bethany?
I have. I know that was one of the concerns voiced during discussion of this at the school board level. Actually, both of the things that were just mentioned, the food insecurity and also visits to schools. This is an opportunity for people to study, for people to go on trips, and for people to explore what they might do after high school. And a lot of parents and families have been saying that this will limit their ability to do that.
And finally, here's Max in Herndon, Virginia. Max, your turn.
Oh, thank you. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I just wanted to bring up the point more or less of the option maybe of expanding on the total calendar year for school instead of having such long breaks within the summer and winter, especially with the studies that we see that kids tend to lose information. So I thought maybe that was a good point just to bring up, especially for the kind of making up the lost time for the other holidays as well. So that was really it.
Could respond to that, Patricia.
Well, yes, we couldn't agree more. In fact, in many of our, or most of our Title I schools and our focus schools, which are our schools with higher poverty, we do run an extended summer program that does include meals and instruction. But certainly, this should be more universally available. The studies show there is a summer slide. And we want to encourage and make available to students the opportunity for summer learning to not just make up the gap, but also to accelerate. And we do know that hunger and food insufficiency is a problem in all of our communities.
Patricia O'Neill is a member of the Montgomery County Board of Education. Thank you for joining us. Bethany Rogers is a reporter for Bethesda Beat, where she covers Montgomery County Schools. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Kojo Nand.
WAMU education coverage is supported in part by American Graduate. Let's make it happen, a public media initiative made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
WAMU 88.5 is your listener-supported NPR news station in the greater Washington, D.C. region. You can support the Kojo Namdi Show and all the regional coverage you value by becoming a member today. Click the donate button at WAMU.org, and thanks.